Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
To start off, let me share with you a little bit about the story of Jonah and the whale. How many of you guys are familiar with that story? Jonah and the big fish. We don't know if it's a fish, we don't know if it's a whale, but something ate him. So I'm going to summarize this for you if you haven't read this for a while. Let's just refresh our memory. Jonah was a guy, he loved Jesus, but God had asked him to do something. He had asked him to go to the city of Nineveh, which was like the ghetto. It was the one place he did not want to go. And he said, absolutely, God, I'm not going to go there. And he began to run the opposite direction. He got in a boat and headed in the opposite direction of where God had asked him and called him to go. The rest of the story goes like this. Basically, he gets on this boat, and due to his disobedience, there's this massive storm that breaks out. He is in the middle of the ocean, and this boat is about to bust in two pieces because God had caused this huge storm around him due to his disobedience. So all the buddies on the boat are like, what the heck is happening? Who is responsible for this? And Jonah says, it is my fault. He goes, the storm has come upon us because this is my fault. So he said, you got to throw me overboard. This is what you got to do. And as soon as they did that, they threw this dude overboard. That's a bad day, right? And even worse, then a big fish eats him. So he finds himself running from God and in this horrific situation. As soon as he was off the boat, the sea was calm. Everything was good. And he's now finding himself in this pit that he never thought he would be. He loved God. He served God. However, when God asked him to do something, he said no. How many of you guys have ever been there? God has spoke to you to do something, to be something, and instead of saying yes, you say absolutely not, and you go the opposite direction. You know, the problem with that is when we refuse to do what God has asked us to do, you can find yourself in all different scenarios in your life. You know, maybe you're finding that you're not feeling fulfilled in your purpose because you're not doing and living in your purpose. Maybe all hell breaks loose in your family because you say no to what God's asking you to do. Maybe there's disappointment, you're feeling overwhelmed, anxiety, depression, all of these things. You find yourself in the pit of a whale, and it's stinky and it's gross and it's horrible. But you know what you got to do is you got to say yes to God, right? And I know I can relate to this. You know, obviously, saying no doesn't always mean it's sin. But when we say no to what God has asked us to do, we're missing out on the fullness of what he has in store for our life. So I can totally relate to this, believe it or not. I have said no to God quite a lot in my life, sadly. But I have said no. I've said yes a lot, but I have also said no even more. You know, when it comes to ministry life, I have known since I've been a little girl that ministry is on my life. And I began to run the opposite direction and found myself in the pit of a whale, feeling hopeless, discouraged, overwhelmed, just frustrated, stuck in life. I'm sure that I'm not the only one, as well as I've said no in the offering moments too. Oh my gosh. I remember there was a big offering, and God had spoke to me about a specific, what would have been our largest offering of all time in our marriage. And I remember God telling that to me, and I said, absolutely not. There's some goals that we're about to crush, and I'm not doing that. I didn't tell my husband because I know he's way better and more spiritual than me, and he'd make me do it. So I said no. I kept it to myself. And the result of that storm was our finances crashed that month in unbelievable ways. So Samuel's like, what the heck? We're like on this upward swing. What's going on? And I had to come clean of, I told God no. He spoke to my heart. And as soon as we had another opportunity, God gave me another chance to say yes. And that was a changing point for us, saying the yes. And so there are so many things in life that you have the opportunity, yes and no. Those are some of my no's, but thank you, God, that I have second chances to say yes. I've said yes to stepping into ministry, not only with going through the motions, but in my heart. And I've said yes to giving the offering that God has put on my heart. And as a result, we had our historically largest income month of all of our life after we gave that gift. But why would I even doubt God? Why would I not trust God? Like, why would I say no in the first place? I think we find ourselves not trusting God that what he says in his word is actually going to work for me. I doubt, I don't trust, I don't think it's going to happen. And Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Whenever God asks you for that yes, know on the other side of that yes is prosperity, provision, purpose, future. And I am so thankful that I say yes more than I say no now. And one of the biggest yeses was stepping out of the boat in a huge way for our Duth family 3 years ago, coming down to San Diego. And it was scary. But the fruit of that yes and saying those yeses have been life-changing for us. And I just want to let you in on a couple of those. On the other side of that yes, here is what I have found that God has done in my life and can do in your life as well. He takes the good in your life and exchanges it for the great. We have good. Maybe my life was good. My life was fine. My friendships were good. My family was fine. There was nothing major dramatic. But I found as soon as we began to say those yeses, he exchanged those things to make them great, to make them better. He also restored my hope, my vision. I began to dream again and be excited about the possibilities of what was ahead in my future. That when you say yes to God, you come to life because you're walking in his purpose, in his plan for you, and your life, you just come back to life. And lastly, I found that God does what we thought was impossible. When we trust him with what we have, he turns that yes into a significant impact beyond what you can even imagine. Behind every yes is an impact that you may not even know. Just think of Hebrews 11. I know Dr. Matt mentioned it this morning, that behind every yes, every person who said yes, they changed a generation. They changed their family. So what is it in our life that we need to surrender to God to say yes? And what is the fruit of that yes in your life going to be? I just want to encourage you, if you're going, oh my gosh, I've said yes, no, I need to say yes. Go ahead. Let's be people that say yes to Jesus, yes to the things that he has for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Next up.
Just say yes. Can somebody just say yes? Katie, great job. You also left me a minute, which I'm going to steal, guaranteed. Hey, so come on, C3 Church, let's go. Hey, we're going to spend, calm down, I haven't even started yet. We're going to spend most of our time in 1 Samuel 13:19, but I got some stuff to set up for you. I was reading in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. C3, thanks for being such a great friend. I'm serious. Like, I can't think of a better spot to come and share with you guys than all you friends. Where our iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. The title of my message, hey, I haven't seen this slide, so we're going to say the title of my message, and then you're going to tell me when I can turn around. But the title of my message today is Weapons Factory. Weapons Factory. Is it up? Is it up? Oh, that's good. That's good. I may or may not have chosen my title based off of I knew they'd do a great job. So Weapons Factory. And then John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I think sometimes it's very helpful to know that we're up against a thief. I really do. Can I just tell you, like, there's iron inside of you, and that thief can't touch that iron. He can't come within 10 feet of it. So if I'm trying to guard against that, right? Like, I don't need to because he's not going to touch it. So I think it's very helpful to ask, what does the enemy want to steal anyway? What does he have access to? Because if everything's important, if I'm trying to guard against everything, then nothing's important. So I have one point, and I'm giving it to you right now so I don't forget it, okay? And that is, so I don't run out of time. There's a lot of reasons why I'm doing it right now. This is interesting because Katie and I did not talk about this. Your enemy wants to steal your weapons, and he wants to steal your will. He wants to steal your yes. The enemy wants to steal your weapons, and he wants to steal your will. And here's the crazy thing, okay? If he can disarm you, he doesn't need to defeat you. There's no reason. If he can disarm you, if he can steal your will, if he can steal your weapon, like what? There's no fight anymore. There's no fight. So we run into this in 1 Samuel 13:19. Okay? The Israelites are up against, they're backed up in a corner. Okay? They've got iron. They got plenty of iron. They don't have any weapons. Okay? And they're up against the battle. And this is where we run into 1 Samuel 13:19. There were no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines would not allow it out of fear that they would make swords and spears for the Hebrews. There's iron inside of you. We don't need to come down to the altar anymore and pray for more iron. I need a blacksmith. I need a blacksmith up here. I come to church to get sharpened. I don't come to church to get soothed. I walk into C3 every single day because I know you are going to sharpen me. The iron in you sharpens the iron in me. Would somebody find me a blacksmith up in this place? I need some heat. I need some fire in this place, okay? Because I got to get some, thank you. Thank goodness we got some blacksmiths up in here. I need some help. Come on. And Bryce said it today too. Like this Christian life, it's not a playground. It's a battleground. We're gonna have some storms that we got to go through. And I need your help because I need some weapons to go through this thing, okay? But I don't want to miss the fact that you do sharpen me. The man that you see here in front of you today, it's because you have iron in you. Without the iron in you, I wouldn't be the man I am today. It's a fact. Mike and Rachel Finn. Come on. No, like lots of people. There's people that aren't even here today, out of town, whatever. Evan and Taylor Lowe. Right? The Gulicks, the Hisero. I mean, like the list goes on. If we've had an interaction, hands down, your iron is sharpening me. We got to go. Hey, so I missed this part. Listen, we're going to guard our weapons and we're going to guard our will. We're going to guard our weapons, guard our will. So 1 Samuel, the next verse. I've always wanted to say that, next verse. So whenever the Israelites sharpen their, no, that's a true statement. Can we be real fresh and powerful in this place? Next verse. The only other thing I wanted to say is bring up the keys, and they won't let me bring up the keys because they put me right in the middle. I can't say that. I can say next verse, though. Okay, let's go. So whenever the Israelite, listen up, calm down. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plows, picks, axes, or sickles, they would take them to the Philistine blacksmiths. So now all of a sudden I'm really confused because this is my message, and I'm like, what are the Philistines? Dude, who said the enemy? Double portion right over there, whoever that was. Thank you. Who had a blacksmith in the house. Yeah, they're the enemy. So you're telling me the enemy has no problem with me taking my shovel, be like, hey, will you sharpen this for me? Oh, yeah. Leave this bar a little bit. Sharpen it for me. That's very crazy. Why would he sharpen my plow? Your enemy does not have a problem with you farming. He just doesn't want you to learn how to fight. Don't let me leave this place. I'll start preaching. Listen to me. No, listen to me. I'm dead serious. Hey, let them farm. Don't let them learn how to fight. Let them come here. Let them get a word. But don't let them learn how to turn that word into a weapon. No, I don't think... If I don't stay right here, I'm going to listen to me. No, listen to me. If you take your iron to the enemy's blacksmith, he'll turn it into farming equipment. No problem with that. Let him farm. Don't let him learn how to fight. Hey, but listen to this. Listen to this. You bring that same iron into this house. Oh, no. You bring that iron that's inside of you, bring it to my God. That iron that's inside of you, you make an appointment with my blacksmith. Before you know it, he'll turn that into a weapon. That shovel that you had in your hand that you thought was farming equipment, before long, you'll be waving that thing around. It'll be a weapon. That song that's in your life, God will turn that into worship. And in this house, that worship is a mighty weapon. Do I have any fighters in this place? We got to go. Woo, we got to go. Hey, and since I've got some fighters, I feel like I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm sick and tired of Isaiah 47:14. You know the one. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's a good verse. Let me give you a little pro tip. If you're ever at men's or women's prayer and you run out of things to say, pull out Isaiah 47:14. It'll save the day every single time, I promise. But, so don't kick me out of the church. Well, listen up. Listen. Hey, there's a better verse. Isaiah 49:2. He made my words of judgment sharper than a sword. I am as sharp as an arrow in his quiver. There's a lot of people and there's a lot of churches out there today that have no problem saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. They'll tattoo it on their wrist. They'll put it in their hallways. Church, cities are changed when you realize that I am a weapon formed against the enemy, formed against death, formed against defeat, formed against fear. I am a weapon. I am a weapon. I'm not on offense anymore. I'm on the offense. I'm on defense. We got to go. We got to go. What does the enemy want? What does he want? He wants your will and he wants your weapons. He wants your will. Touch your neighbor. Say will and weapons. I got 43 minutes. Let's go. Okay. Someone's got to go. Watch this. Next verse. Actually, it's not really. It's Samuel. It's 1 Samuel 41:1. Do it on the screen. 1 Samuel 4, we're almost done. Look, come on, let's go. We got this. 1 Samuel 14:1. Don't kick me off. 14:1. I need it. It's 1 Samuel 14:1. I need it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. One day God told Jonathan, come, let us go over to the Philistine outpost. One day God told Jonathan. Oh, no, that's not right. Samuel. Hey, guard your will. So, hang on. You're telling me God didn't say it? Where does this say? God didn't say. One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come, let us go. We got to go. I'm 15 seconds over. They're going to kick. Will you have me back? Can you have me back? I have this last point. Hey, the devil wants your will. He wants your weapons. He wants your will and he wants your weapons. What are we waiting on, C3? What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Listen to me. This is my last thing. I'm done. I'm turning it over to Gulick over here, Rena Gulick. She's my closer. But I had to leave you with this one thing. Listen to me right now. Listen, she's my closer. Hey, listen up. You don't need permission where you have God's promise. Would someone just say yes? Would someone say yes? I gotta move. I gotta go. Guard your will, guard your weapons. Guard your will, guard your weapons. Rena, I'm done. I'm over. Let's go.
You know, I just, I got to thank Pastor Matt and Michaela for the honor to entrust our church family to me to speak into the life of our church tonight. It is an incredible, incredible privilege. And they asked if I'd minister in the prophetic. So why don't we just start there? You know, Andy and Amy, I gotta say, Charlie and I were at a restaurant celebrating our anniversary a few months back, and we bumped into Andy and Amy. And shortly after that, we're at our dinner table having our romantic dinner, gazing into each other's eyes. And the waiter comes along with this very expensive bottle of wine, and it was from an anonymous person, Andy and Amy Pugh. And Andy, I was on vacation, Charlie and I were on vacation this week, and while I was on vacation, I see this vision of Andy Pugh. And I saw you, Andy, and you had the bow and the arrow, and you're shooting an arrow this way. You're shooting an arrow this way. But this one, you pull back, and there's just a clarity and a focus in this one. And it hits a piñata, and this candy comes pouring out. And everyone's gathering to get the candy, but I see you, and you were jumping up and down like amazed, but you hit the target. I got it. I got this. And what I believe it's for, I see business investments here, there. But God, what God's doing is there's a knowing that he's putting in your spirit that's going to bring such a confidence, this surge of confidence. And I see well-meaning people are going to come and try and sway you from business decisions and investments. But God's giving you a knowing that there's such a knowing that this is an investment, this is from God, and you can't even explain it. It's not something any man's going to teach you, and I see the Holy Spirit's teaching you. And I see you'll know seasons of rest, seasons of sowing, and seasons of reaping. And many people are going to eat the fruit of your labor. Amen. You know, I don't know if it's your first time here, but the first time I ever went to church was the first time I was exposed to prophecy. And I was very unsaved. And they were doing water baptisms this night at the church I went to in New Zealand, which was Pastor Eugen was the youth pastor. So I said to him during the service, I said, oh, how do I get this thing done? The water baptism. They come out of the water and you tell their future? This is awesome. I'm like, how much does it cost? I mean, I'm for sure thinking it's at least $5. And he says, he's like, you need to give your life to God first. But there was something that amazed me and drew me because these words were from God. It wasn't psychic. It was God speaking, and it was so uplifting, and it was so life-giving, and I could tell a difference. Even as an unsaved person that was interested in the supernatural. And, so I got saved, and then a few weeks later, I get water baptized. And so these people are now, I come out of the water, and they're prophesying over me, and they say, you're going to be speaking and in other nations. And here I am today in America speaking to you guys. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire the gifts, especially prophecy. Why? Why especially prophecy? There's something, prophecy, I call it the great connector. It's the greatest, one of the greatest ways to connect people to God. So What is prophecy? It's the ability to hear the Holy Spirit and what's on the heart of God for that person's future. It's knowing what he wants to do with them, in them, what he's developing in them, and what whether it's developing them to do something or what he's developing in them to do for someone else. And, you know, it's available to all of us. And let me just say this about the prophetic. It is not about giving out words. It is about, that's not the goal. It's connecting a person to the heart and to the love and to the mind of God. And one key that I want to give you tonight in growing in the gifts is that you must face your fears to move in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, I don't want to spend my days pleasing men and walking in fear of men. I want to spend my life doing the impossible, pleasing God. So I will face my fears. I will face my fear of men. I will step out in faith. And that is, you know, guess what? You know, you're going to step out in faith and you will fail. It's inevitable. You'll step out in words of knowledge, prophetic words. It might not hit the mark. Doesn't matter. No, keep going. You know, that's how you learn. No one gets it right. But I tell you what, when you do get it right, someone feels so known and valued and cared for by God. And it's so worth the risk. It's so worth it. Years ago, I heard a preacher say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And so without taking risks, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And someone's miracle, someone's healing, someone's deliverance and encounter with God is on the other side of your risk. You know, I have so many examples of how God's, you know, spoken through me in specific and accurate words of knowledge and the prophetic. But this is not about me. This is about us. This is about us. And I want to share a story about how the us and the gifts of God can transform a life. And this is how a big church becomes smaller and connected, and how a big God becomes known and intimate. And this is Ben's story. Is Ben Tamlin and Christopher's friend here tonight? No, I don't think he was here. But Ben, that's my American translation. For all you Americans, Ben. Christopher and Tamlin Glasgow, I don't know if you know those guys, they run the cafe, incredible couple, faithful. They go to hire a contractor. In walks Ben. They're just getting a quote from this guy. Next thing, Christopher invites him to Empower. He comes to Empower, hears a word from God, gets saved on the altar call at Empower. Christopher gives him a word that night. Tamlin, without knowing what Christopher said, gives him the exact same word, word for word. That Sunday, Ben comes to church after Empower. Powerhouse Pastor Pam comes up, prays for him, starts to break something open off his life. Ben starts to have demonic visitations that Monday. Tuesday morning, he goes to men's prayer. Lance Williams comes up to him, has a word of knowledge about demonic visitations and attacks that he's going through, doesn't know him. That night, after men's prayer, he goes, leaves to do some work at Tamlin and Christopher's house, starts manifesting. Tamlin does deliverance ministry on him. Has she done it before? No! She's taking a risk. End of the day, it's open heaven night, that Tuesday. Hello. John Day's prophesying, break-busting something open in the heaven. The Spirit of God so just heavy in the place. Ben's there. I look across. Never met the guy. Don't know anything about him. Afterwards, I go up to him. I tell him, this is what God showed me, very specific word of knowledge. I said, you know, I see tonight's your night. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive the gifts of tongues. He looks at Christopher. Have you told her about me? Everything was spot on. He said, no one laid hands on me or prayed for me, but I received the gift of tongues during worship. Sunday night, he's water baptized. This is the us together taking steps of faith, moving out in the impossible. Band, if you can come up, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you actually just stand, everyone stand up right now. Hector and Elise. Hector, I see people have spoken limitations over your life, and I see it caused a ceiling, but you have stepped out from under that ceiling. You've stepped out, and I see it's like a breath of fresh air that's filling your lungs, re-energizing you, and I see the strength of God filling your life, and it's like a superhero suit. You've put on this suit, and it's like you're getting these huge muscles. And I just see like your hands are gold, and everything you will touch, there is success on your life. There is success on your life. And I see employees coming to you. God's bringing three employees. I see one lady. I see she's going to manage for you because she's going to carry your vision for your business. And I just see God's going to bring people, not just workers, but people who will carry your vision. And Elise, I see for you a season, you're going to step into a season of rest. You've toiled, you've labored, and you've just planted, and you've not expected a harvest. But I tell you, there's a time that's going to come very soon of an unexpected harvest on your life. Amen. Amen. You know, this word, it's funny, God speaks to people differently. I had this word, it was yesterday, and God said, four rows down, four seats in. Johnny, that's you. And I kind of know some things that are happening, so this is just, you know, I didn't know it would be you, but I just felt God's heart for you, and that he's with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. And he so loves you, Johnny. And I just felt that for the person that was sitting in this seat, that there's a family situation at home, and it's to do with parents. And he's going to bring you through. And I see him protecting you. I see him giving you a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know if you surf, but I just felt like, go surf, because in that place, God's going to bring such a peace. He's going to speak to you. And I see just this like protection around you, and you're walking through this situation. And I see you gaining a wisdom in your life from it. And you're going to walk through, and you're going to come out, and you'll be above it. And so I thank you. And the other thing I see for you, Johnny, people have said, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing? What are you doing? But I see you. You're sitting down and you're writing a mission statement for your life, and it's going to catapult you into the next 10 years of your life, and it is from God. Do not question it. So, Father, I thank you right now for Johnny. I thank you. You're with him, Lord. You will never leave him. You could never forsake him. God, you've got this man in the palm of your hands. You know, church, I see this vision. I see open mouths, and I see coming out from this church, mouths open across the city, and I see a life-giving, creative, life-giving force going forth out of our mouths across the city, and that is the prophetic, and that is the power of God in our voice. But I see another picture, and I see mouths shut, and I see staples across people's mouths. And I tell you right now that God wants to break those staples out of your mouth. You have a voice. You have a voice. So right now, if that's you, even tonight, you've been sitting there and you're thinking, this isn't for me. Prophecy's not for me. It is for you. That is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie from the enemy. You know the voice of God. So why don't you lift your hands right now if you feel that there's been things holding you back from being a voice, from opening your mouth, for stepping out in faith. Father, right now, I thank you. I bind every spirit of fear, anxiety, intimidation, everything of guilt, shame, a religious spirit that has bound the mouths of your people, God, from speaking your voice. I thank you right now across this place. I declare and I loose the revelatory gifts, the spirit of you, God, Father, that would bring forth your truth, that would set the captives free. I thank you right now, God, Father, for the prophetic to flow through all of us in this place, across our city, in Jesus' mighty name. And we say, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.